From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Meghna Chakraborty.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now in a few minutes. And as five more troops are killed in Afghanistan this week, what is the plan to wind down the war that started 12 years ago this week?
But first, financial markets around the world rose after the news that President Obama will nominate Janet Yellen to be the next chair of the Federal Reserve Bank. He's expected to make that announcement this afternoon. Yellen is described by a colleague as a small lady with a large IQ. She's the current vice chair at the Fed. And if confirmed, she would be the first woman to head the bank, breaking a 100-year glass ceiling that some argue she'd become the most powerful woman in U.S. history. Binyamin Applebaum, economic policy correspondent for The New York Times, joins us with more. And Binyamin, first of all, let's begin by you first telling us about Janet Yellen's qualifications.
Yeah, you know, she may well be the most qualified person who's ever been nominated to be Fed chair. She was a distinguished academic at the University of California at Berkeley, did a lot of work on the causes of unemployment, understanding why people can't find jobs and what the government can do about it. In 1994, she joined the Federal Reserve Board of Governors for the first time, then became an economic advisor to President Clinton, ran the Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco for 6 years, and came back to the Fed in 2010 as the vice chair. So she's been involved at the Fed for most of the last two decades, deeply experienced in making monetary policy, well-versed in the theory of economic monetary policy making, really an extremely qualified candidate.
Well, it's interesting about that, her being well-versed in the theory of economic policy making, because as you report, it's her research in the 1980s that's in large part a justification for the massive stimulus program the Fed has undertaken since the financial crisis.
There is a remarkable linearity in her career. She has been, from her earliest days as an economist, a forceful advocate for the Fed's ability to reduce unemployment, to respond to recessions by stimulating the economy and helping people to find jobs. The work that she did with her husband, George Akerlof, is part of the intellectual foundation for the Fed's ability to combat unemployment. And then she took that work into public service, did a good job of essentially importing the things that she had studied as an academic into the work of policymaking, and over the last 20 years has helped to shape the way that the Fed approaches its management of the economy, its willingness to tolerate a little bit of inflation in order to push down unemployment, and lately its relentless focus on reducing unemployment directly.
Right. Well, Binyamin, let's talk about that for just a moment, because Janet Yellen does have a large number of supporters in Congress and even on Wall Street, but that inflation aspect of her career or her focus on it is one of the reasons why she does also have some critics in Congress. Senator Bob Corker, for example, one of the top Republicans on the Banking Committee, voted against Janet Yellen in 2010, saying that her views on monetary policy are dovish. What are their objections?
Yeah, you know, it probably is inconceivable that Janet Yellen would have been nominated to lead the Fed at any historical moment before this one, because historically the Fed really has been, its priority has been to control inflation, to push down inflation, to limit inflation, and that has been the expectation, is that a new Fed chairman will have that as their priority, that that will be their central focus. And we're living in a different world right now. There is no inflation, effectively. It's at the lowest levels on record. The problem that we have is massive unemployment, and so Ms. Yellen essentially has made that her priority. But there is discomfort among a large number of people who still feel that the Fed should not take its eye off inflation, that inflation could come roaring back at any time. And for them, her appointment is a step in the wrong direction. It would emphasize the wrong thing, and it would put the Fed at risk of losing its hard-won victory over inflation. From about 1980 through the mid-90s, the Fed was enormously successful in driving inflation down to a low level. It has stayed there ever since. But there are people who are concerned that achievement could be frittered away.
Now, finally, Binyamin, in the last 30 seconds or so that we have, if confirmed, Janet Yellen would be the first woman to head the Federal Reserve. Not many women central bankers around the world, none really in Europe or the Bank of England. There's one in the Bank of Japan. What significance would it be that this glass ceiling would have been broken in the United States?
You know, I don't think we know, but perhaps the nicest thing that was said about it, the economist Justin Wolfer, is a professor at the University of Michigan, wrote yesterday that he had told his daughter that she could now dream of being the most powerful economist in the world. So perhaps that's the thing to say, is that it opens up horizons for the next generation.
Well, Binyamin Applebaum has a wonderful biography in today's New York Times of Janet Yellen, including stories about how she brought economics into her college cafeteria. We have a link to that at our website, hereandnow.org. Binyamin, economic policy correspondent for the New York Times, thank you so much.
My pleasure.